Now I'm Susan Saunders, and on the second Tuesday of the month, I always get the privilege of talking to my friends from the Bloomington Police Department, and we have Bloomington Police Chief Brendan Hefner, along with Public Information Officer Elias Mendiola, who is all in uniform today. Are you going out to visit somebody today, sir?
Good morning, Susan.
Is this your normal work attire, is in the full uniform?
No, but we had a tour come through the police department this morning, so.
And if you're not in uniform, the kids are a little disappointed, aren't they?
They're disappointed and confused.
They need to see the police officers look like police officers. We've got many questions that we need to ask today. And, Chief, I know you have been overworked on conversations about all things of the Citizens Review Board. Pardon me if I am repeating things that you've already said at the city council meeting last night, but I know not everybody got a chance to attend. I do want to point out, though, first off, you have a focus meeting that's actually happening tomorrow, 5:30 to 6:30, about the citizen complaint process. Can you tell me what that meeting is going to include?
Well, that will include some of what I spoke about last night. However, I didn't get a chance to really expound upon things as I would have because of time constraints, because there was so much public comment. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, for anyone who didn't listen last night or really wants more in-depth information about the complaint process, come to the focus meeting. Sergeant Walmsley, who oversees our tracking of complaints and other things and moves them up to Assistant Chief Wheeler, will be there. He will be conducting the meeting, and then afterwards I'll answer questions as usual. But you'll get to see the process, ask questions about the process, and learn more about it.
That will be at the Osborne Room at the Bloomington Police Department, again, 5:30 to 6:30 tomorrow. And I'm assuming you don't need to make reservations. You just show on up.
Just right. Show up.
Free and easy. Also, I want to point out there's an upcoming event, Officer Mendiola. You could tell me about Ice Cream with a Cop. I mean, that sounds like fun.
We have our annual Ice Cream with a Cop Thursday, August the 3rd from 4 to 6 at Carl's Ice Cream over at 601 West Locust in Bloomington. It's always been a great event. We get hundreds of kids from the neighborhood and all over Bloomington Normal to come out, share some ice cream with their brother or sister, sometimes parents, and sometimes the police. And we have some good conversation.
Is there going to be a discount on the ice cream? Or
free. We give out these.
Free? Oh, now I'm showing up.
12 and under.
For age limit.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right, that's happening again at Carl's Ice Cream on August 3rd. All right, so let's get down to the meat of it. It seems like I'll be asking questions of you today, Chief, that most people would be asking tomorrow at the officers' meeting. The Citizens Review Board concept is a little confusing to me, and I know there are people on both sides of the issue on whether or not we should have one. My question is, how would a Citizens Review Board work? Has that at all been shown to you as the methodology to the system versus how complaints are handled now? Can you tell me how that might work?
Okay, well, there are different types of review boards. Some issue discipline, some and actually review the cases. Some function in an advisory type of position and work with the departments. There are various ones. This one is advisory in nature. So in the draft right now, as it is, it would be a 7-member board. Obviously, there's still issues about whether felons should be allowed on there, and that's a whole other conversation.
I understand.
However, what this board would do would be basically review complaints where a citizen was dissatisfied with the disposition of their complaint after receiving a letter from our department. So our complaint process does not change. You have a complaint, you can come to the department, get a form, file it, get it notarized, submit it then. You can download it online, go somewhere and get it notarized, mail it in, whatever. The complaint is then investigated. We try to get it done within 30 days. If not, it's going to be extended. Sometimes if your complaint is related to something criminal, then it is not going to be investigated until the criminal process is done. And what we're looking at is obviously policy violations, but you can't have dual investigations. So anyways, once it's done, you will receive a letter back with a brief synopsis as to our decision and how we arrived at it, and it will either be not sustained, which means the investigation failed to produce a preponderance of evidence to prove or disapprove the allegation, exonerated, which means that the actions that the officer or the employee took, because it could be one of our front desk people, were legal, justified, and proper in conformance with the law, sustained, which would mean a preponderance of evidence was there to prove the employee acted improperly, and unfounded. That would mean that the act did not even occur. Mm-hmm. So once you get this letter, you could still come and speak to me about it in your displeasure, or if this board hypothetically was put together, you could have your complaint reviewed by that board. So the board could review the complaint.
Only after an investigation is complete.
Only after an investigation. And they are not reinvestigating it. By our union contract, you can't be investigated twice.
Okay.
And the only person that can issue, say, if something was sustained or any of these findings, I'm the only one that can do that. And that doesn't change. This board has no powers of discretion over me. So the board could look at the complaint and say, Chief, we agree with your findings and let that be that. Or they could look at the complaint and say, well, we have some questions about this, and maybe this policy, or they perhaps could have done this, and I could take that under advisement. Or I could respectfully disagree. Or they could say, you know, this is really an issue. And I might look at it and say, yes, I think you've identified something that maybe I didn't take in consideration. So the next time this occurs, I will be mindful of that. And that's it. But nothing changes in regards to my actions.
So at no point in time would people actually be starting with a complaint to the review board. They would still need to start in the complaint process as it exists now, which means going to the police department and complaining to the chain of command, which includes you.
That is correct.
Would it change, forgive me for asking, but you may not be our police chief forever. So if someone not as good as you took your place in the future, would the citizens be able to go to the review board and complain about the police chief, or would they still need to go elsewhere?
I don't know why people keep bringing that up.
Because
no, I'm not going to be here forever.
You have been in the business for a very long time, and you're doing, in my opinion, a great job. But I know it doesn't last forever.
You put this board together. This board, and bear in mind now, somebody could go in front of that hypothetical review board and not like their findings. They could still go to the council.
And go to the city council.
And complain. So, as I told the council last night, and the mayor, that's who hires me, that's who I report to. So, hypothetically, if I left, if the other chief wanted to change some things, they would have to run it through them. And if the council liked the way I was running things in regards to this panel, then the chief reports to the council, so things would stay the same.
Can you explain to me how a current investigation process works? Because you're talking about needing to ask for information from officers you know well, you work with, you've got a trust level with those officers, because otherwise they wouldn't be on your force to begin with. But that's a complicated situation to be judging and jury of your employees without necessarily having any type of outside input on the evidence. So how does that work when it's kind of a he said, or he said, she said scenario?
Well, this is what I've been trying to stress to citizens. First of all, we don't want anyone out here doing wrong, because we are already suffering from the transgressions of our brethren in other departments. We're all being painted under that broad brush. But even when I was with state police, you take pride in doing these investigations, because about 80% of the time, Miss Nationwide, the officer did not do anything wrong. However, you have to put the right people in these positions. Assistant Chief Wheeler, who's over the Office of Professional Standards, who it goes up through his chain before it comes to me, great investigator, has handled some serious homicides, was the lead investigator along with another detective on the Pilo case. We want to, if there's something going on within with someone in our department, we want to get it right. So first of all, you have to rule out, you know, the person, whatever. I tell says we deal in facts. And a lot of times I hear stories from people who heard it from somebody else, who heard it from somebody else, or they've only got one part of it, or they only saw one video and there's more. We deal in facts. Facts lead us to our conclusions, not emotions.
Are you often able to get facts from dash cams or the experimentation with, you know, wearing cameras on the vest? Are those tools helping in the complaint process?
Yes. Those are very helpful, along with witnesses. Sometimes there's video from cameras that we have put up already, or mm-hmm. videos from businesses that we use. We glean all the information we can to get the facts. And that's why I stressed also last night, you need to, if you have a complaint, file it in a timely manner. Because if it's not related to a criminal arrest and it's not flagged for anything to go to the state's attorney's office, dash camera information is only there for 90 days. So if you wait and delay doing that, that's some information that we probably could have used
at that time.
At the time. Otherwise, that's when you come down to when it says not sustained, the he said, she said situation, because we don't have more information. Or if you wait, witnesses who were there have left the area, or we can't get a hold of them. So it's very timely. But the bottom line is we have to remove emotions and ties. Sergeant Wombly, I told you, is a person who looks at complaints at first and logs them in. We have to deal with the facts, and that's what I tell people. You have to remove the personal side of it and deal with the facts as they are. And that doesn't mean, you know, like videos, people can interpret things different ways, but we gather all the information that we can to make the correct decision.
It's 1020 WJBC. I'm Susan Saunders in studio with Bloomington Police Chief Brendan Hefner, along with Public Information Officer Elias Mendiola. Our monthly conversation lands today, and we happen to be in the middle of the extensive conversations everybody's having and strong opinions about a citizens review board. I need to take a short break, but here's my question coming back about making a complaint through the citizens review board. Is their information, is their complaint going to be made public? Is the identity of a person making a complaint currently kept quiet and under wraps? Is your identity kept a secret? We'll talk about that after this on WJBC.
Voice of Central Illinois, WJBC and WJBC.com.
1024, I'm Susan Saunders, WJBC. We're talking with Bloomington Police Chief Brendan Hefner and Public Information Officer Elias Mendiola is also in studio, and we're asking about the Citizens Review Board. And I very much appreciate, Chief, how you've been calm, cool, collected, and very open about a process that, if it were me, I would be angry about, saying if someone wants to put together a large group of folks to review what I do for a living that don't do what I do for a living. That would make me uncomfortable. Instead, I think you've handled this extremely well. There's a public meeting tomorrow if you want to ask directly to the chief questions like I'm asking today at the Osborne Room between 5:30 and 6:30. You can ask directly about the citizens' complaint process and maybe learn things you didn't know before about how you could have spoken up if there were things that made you uncomfortable. But if a citizens' review board was put in place, and as you explained earlier, the complaint process would still go under investigation through your office, through Sergeant Wheeler and
Wombly.
And then be turned over to their review board should that person who complained not be happy with your decision. When a person makes a complaint to you, their name is not public, correct? You can make an anonymous complaint.
No, you can't make an anonymous complaint. You have to sign the complaint.
Okay.
But as it's going through the process, we don't advertise it. We don't put it out.
Okay.
It is all kept within the department.
Is there a way?
Now, someone can file a FOIA.
Yeah, Freedom of Information Act.
And see complaints. Now, you don't get witness information, or they for a specific one. But no, we don't put that information out to the public.
Okay, but at least it is kept
yes.
as quiet as possible.
Yes.
Until the investigation is complete, and if someone else decides they want to talk about it, then that's up to them.
That's correct.
Would that still be true with a citizens' complaint board? That seems like a lot of public information, because that would be held in a public venue?
It would be open to the public.
So you wouldn't be able to make any type of complaint without worrying that your identity, reputation, and opinions could be judged very harshly.
Yeah, it could depend on the nature of it. But the thing is yes, when you go down that route and you were to hypothetically appeal that to that board, then that information would be out there.
That wouldn't be fun. Well, because people take information and they misconstrue it and they reproduce it on social media and they make headlines claiming themselves to be media when they are bloggers with an opinion. And they're not held to the same values and standards. But the continuation is going to happen, and the judgment is going to be made by the city council now on the 24th. Is that correct?
That's what they said.
That's when they said that's the day they're going to make a decision.
Yes.
And we will move forward from there. Any final thoughts that you want to say about a citizens review board? Because I know you're not unwilling to work with members of the community, but they seem to be very strongly desiring this input. Have you had a large number of complaints that people are upset about? I mean, here's a better question. Chief Hefner, how many complaints have you decided were sustained, that were complaints that were valid, viable, and required action?
For 2016, we had 17 complaints. 8 were not sustained. 6 were exonerated. 2 were sustained. 1 was completely unfounded. So, 2.
So there were complaints that were valid.
Yes. I can't remember the year before, but we had 30 complaints the year before, and previous to that we had 31. And when I was speaking to council last night, I'm not a business owner, but I know that if you get complaints, like when I came there, you get complaints, I would think that your goal would be to, what, lower the amount of complaints coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of proud that we're down, and 0 would be the goal. People say we should have more complaints, but they can't tell me. They just base it on the numbers of people we have and calls for service. But there is no magic number for complaints per population. We have good communication, better communication than what we've had before, and we are able to talk to people sometimes when they come in if they have issues and talk it out, and that's good. They may not agree with everything, but a lot of people get laws confused, and once it's explained to them, they understand. They may not like it, but we don't make the laws.
Sometimes the only law we learn is from Judge Judy, and
indeed,
it is not the same in every community. But when it comes to the 2 complaints that were sustained, can you tell me anything about any changes that were made? Were there actions against those officers? What happens after a complaint is sustained?
What happens after a complaint is sustained? We have to look at the incident and the severity of it. And at times, the corrective action is counseling, reminding the officer in regards to what the policy is or the law is. Or there are times when, you know, you may have to have additional training for the officer. Or there are times when, you know, more discipline is administered. And bear in mind, when we do these things, what we're trying to do is correct the behavior. People want to look at things as punitive, and you do this and you do that. We want our officers acting in the right way. And I will tell you, sometimes, I know one of these complaints, I'm not going to go into detail, sometimes you just make a mistake. You get caught up in the moment, and you just make a mistake, and they're not intentional. So, but we still take corrective action and do what we need.
Are officers that are involved in cases that are sustained, are they made aware of who their complainant is? Because the concern that some people have is whether or not they're going to be then spotlighted by members of the police force, and if there's going to be any retaliatory action.
Well, first of all, if you made a complaint, the officer is probably going to know because it was involving an incident. So they will have a good idea who it is. And just like in court, you have a right to know. They get to see the complaint. So you have a right to know that. It's just the same as a citizen going to court. You get to face your accuser. But as I've said before, some people have talked about retaliation. I just say, how? Look at the size community. How? Somebody told me last night something about an officer could retaliate by getting off duty and going and sitting by the person's house at midnight. I'm like, really? But people are entitled to their opinions. I've always said you're not always entitled to your own facts. Facts right now are is that shootings of officers are up 40% in the nation.
And in some cities, the officers are being targeted, and it's horrific.
Yes. I mean, it's up. It's really high. And actually, officer-involved shootings are down. But yes, officers being targeted are up 40%. So when people talk about being retaliated against, we know about that. I'm not going to stand for that if I thought an officer was even halfway thinking something like that. But, you know, I always say if you have a complaint, we can't do anything. We can't identify a problem if we don't know about it. And these organizations, they have to be better advocates and help people. I hear about complaints. They tell me about the complaints. Come in with the people. I've offered that up. You know, you tell me about it, show me.
Chief, we're at the bottom of the clock, but is it possible that I can ask you to stay for a couple minutes longer? Because I've got some questions about social media.
Sure.
All right. And Officer Mendiola, we've got some congratulations going out to a department that you're working really strongly with, which is your Facebook page. I call it a department, but, you know, it's a full-time job now. Hang on. We're going to come back with more from Bloomington Police Chief Brendan Hefner and PIO Officer Mendiola after this. Susan Saunders and I am holding police officers hostage in the WJBC studio, but they're being very receptive and accepting of it. Bloomington Police Chief Brendan Hefner and Officer Mendiola, who's the new public information officer. How's the new job working out for you? Because this is different. You have to talk to everybody on social media, on Facebook, and on your cell phone.
Yeah, it's been going great. Thank you.
Good. Happy to hear it. You put up some good news on Facebook for the Bloomington Police Department about the Cop on Top program. Your final tally was a pretty big number.
It was over $9,500, and we do appreciate all the efforts of the officers that consistently, year upon year, come out to do that and our citizens. Without our citizens, we would never have those successes. And, of course, with social media, it really puts that out there and publicizes the great things that are going on in this community.
Well, you're doing great things all year round for All Things Special Olympics, so we definitely appreciate it, and it was nice to support that day. Now, Officer Mendiola, you are not the only person who has eyes on the Bloomington Police Department Facebook page, correct? Because it seems like you guys are answering outlandish questions 24 hours a day.
We try to stay up on the information coming in. It's pretty consistent. And, of course, we have our other units that assist us, to include Criminal Investigations Division and our crime analyst as well. And it's consistent, and it takes an effort in our police department since we do field a myriad of questions. And, of course, we are putting out and have a lot of successes on social media to have included a couple of recent cases.
Can you tell me about some of those without breaking any confidentiality?
One of the cases involved a shooting that occurred this past summer, and we had fielded in some awesome information that came in that was instrumental in assisting with the investigation. A recent one was sharing the Sheriff Department's recent death investigation with McLean County, and we had reached close to 500,000 individuals on that case.
And that was in the Funk's Grove case, looking
correct.
For information?
Yes.
I thought
so we had great successes on that,
I thought that was incredibly valuable when you were trying to identify the victim by showing pictures of the tattoo and so the way they got spread around and answer really quick. Now, I see people comment on stories all the time, but if someone wanted to send a direct message via Facebook, someone is receiving those, correct, and answering
yes.
those?
Yes. Messenger on Facebook, we, of course, try to answer those on a timely manner and give correct factual information back out to the citizens.
I'm very impressed. You have a great Facebook page. It not only puts up your successes, it puts up your requests for help when you're looking for more information, and I'm amazed at how much information you're putting out there, and it's just good PR. But that brings me back to you, Chief Hefner, because if you're friends with all these other people on Facebook and not with me, I'm going to be a little offended, to be honest, because there were a couple of threads that I've noticed in the last month or so where people, of course, wanted information immediately, if not sooner. They suspected some sort of crime was happening, and they said, "Well, I'm just gonna send a message right to Chief Hefner right now on Facebook." And I thought, "Well, is Chief Hefner on Facebook? Because you have to hear from everybody all the time. I'm guessing it's very hard to be off duty. But are you off duty on social media?"
I'm not on social media at all. So, and I will not be. So you won't find me on Facebook or anything else like that.
Occasionally you should take a look, though. The Bloomington Police Department Facebook page is really nice.
They, oh, well, Yeah, I'm advised of that, but you won't be finding me on Facebook.
Okay,
I leave that to Elias. And
that was misinformation. It is a small town. We mentioned this earlier, and everybody knows everybody, not as much as the town I grew up in, which was about 8,000 people. Everybody knew everybody in that town. But in a community this size, it's not hard to find out, hey, where Officer Mendiola might live or where the police chief lives, or some people might know you socially and your phone number gets out. Are people breaking that third wall, or are people being respectful in this town?
For the most part, they're being respectful. I have had a couple people come by my residence, and that's a little alarming to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was totally innocent, but for the most part, I really had no issues. People are very nice. If they see me out and I'm eating or something, they'll come by and say hello. But for the most part, except for, I would say, prior to Zimmerman getting arrested, people would stop and ask me questions about that, which I obviously can't answer then or now. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, people are pretty good. I get a lot of peace at people let me get my workouts in at the gym, and I appreciate that. But even when people do come up to talk to me, they're very kind and very nice.
Is this why you're in such good shape? Because you know everybody's watching you work out?
No, I just stay in shape, so I have a good quality of life.
Does that happen to you, Elias? You know, people see a police officer working out. You work out a little harder because you think they're judging just a little bit? Or do you work out amongst all police officers?
No, I work out in a public gym. And I think a lot of people have to know that a lot of us, we're in this business to help people. And even off duty at times, we do get asked to help. It's mm-hmm. happened in my career, at least coming on here into 20 years, it's happened several times, different occasions throughout the years. And, you know, we inherently, we deal with a lot of people and come in contact with people, and we believe in helping people, even to include at times off duty.
But there are some folks that would really like to be friends with a cop. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We all have those friends.
Yes.
They all want to be friends with the police officer. But I just say respect the police officer around you, on duty, off duty. Everybody can be a friend, right? And everybody can have a nice chat and just be respectful. But stop texting the police chief at home. If you need emergency assistance, call 911. Brendan Hefter, thank you so much for joining us today. Best of luck with all the meetings and the city council. Officer Mendiola, congratulations again on the new position. Seems to be going well, and we'll talk to you again next month, if not sooner, here on WJBC.
Thank you.